Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Shattered Wolf by Jen L. Gray, narrated by Bridget Bordeaux. Chapter 1. With every mile we moved away from the overcrowded downtown of Gatlinburg and closer to the packed neighborhood, my heart beat more erratically. Despite my protests, Mom had encouraged me to hang out with Heather, one of Pawpaw's pack members, tonight, but I was sure she hadn't meant for me to stay out until after 1 in the morning. It worried me that she hadn't linked with me to check if I was okay. Lately, her silence had been saying more than her words since, well, since Dad died. Dad, how I missed him. The familiar swirls of anger tightened my chest, and I took a deep breath to cleanse my mind. Thankfully, the grief was nowhere as intense as it had been right after his death. On instinct, I played Mozart's clarinet concerto in A major in my head to calm the brewing storm within. Though I was 20 and an adult, my pack, the Silver Wolves, had always stayed isolated from humans and other supernaturals, including other wolf-shifters, to keep our existence secret. Genetically, we were descended from an angel, and our angel blood made us more powerful than other wolf-shifters, especially during a full moon. We'd been hunted and killed over our heritage. For that reason, pack members worried whenever any of us stayed away longer than expected, as Heather and I had done tonight. As of very recently, we were no longer hiding from other supernaturals. But secrecy was ingrained in us. Change took time, and I took my mother's silence as frustration. It'd be best if I contacted her now so she could vent before we arrived. We're on our way back. I sent through our link. Silence. Even the bond seemed muted, as if she were asleep, which was odd. Maybe she'd shut down our connection, but that didn't feel right either. Normally, it would still be warm. Well, I'd soon find out what was going on. Great. I dreaded arriving at Papa and Nana's. It would come in handy if I could link with my grandparents, but I wasn't part of their pack, so we couldn't. I was a Silver Wolf, after all, and had planned to stay with their pack for only a short time while I grieved my father and worked through my anger surrounding his death. I didn't want those negative emotions to take over my life. As time passed, the plan had changed. Back at home, Mom had only grown angrier. Not needing her rage to fuel mine, I'd stayed with my grandparents' pack longer and longer. Then Mom had shown up here, and we'd started working through our issues. Heading home was finally imminent, wherever home was. Our Silver Wolf pack had been shuffled around ever since they had come into the picture. My cousins, Sterlin, our new alpha, and her twin brother, Cyrus. My father had died protecting them, and I'd left to work through my grief about that. My rage had tried to control me, but letting it do so hadn't been fair. Dad had chosen to protect them with his life, and he'd done it out of love. I should respect that. He deserved that. I hadn't meant to leave the pack before all sorts of other attacks had descended on them. By the time I'd realized more of my pack members were dying, they'd moved from our home to a new location. "Hey!" Heather exclaimed as she snapped her fingers at me from the driver's seat of her beat-up Ford truck. Her light blonde hair swayed across her shoulders. "None of this. You were actually fun tonight, and I refuse to let you change just because we're heading home." I laid my head on the headrest and tilted my face toward the window. My auburn hair hung in shining strands around my face, and my blue eyes were so bright they seemed to glow, even though my wolf wasn't surging forward. My olive complexion helped with that illusion. My reflection mocked me. Outwardly, I looked confident, but I struggled to be comfortable around anyone outside my pack, especially humans. "You laced my rum and coke with wolfsbane, so yeah, I wasn't completely myself." "Oh, don't worry, Jewel." She rolled her light brown eyes. "You weren't the life of the party, but at least you smiled from time to time and you weren't hiding in the corner of the bar behind the holiday tree. Much." A laugh escaped, surprising me. I rolled my head toward Heather and said, Yeah, okay. It's just that Mom wanted you to go out and have fun. Heather interjected and focused on the road. The smooth ride became jerky as she turned onto the one-lane dirt road that led to my grandparents' back neighborhood. She asked me to take you into town and make you forget about all the crazy since she couldn't. I would have rather had Mom take me out. She was my best friend. Well, ever since Dad had passed. Mom and I had always been close, but I'd been Daddy's little girl. Until I wasn't. Pain stabbed my heart, and I felt wrong for having laughed just a few minutes ago.
Hey, she can't help that her insane ex lives close enough that if she ventures too far, he'll find out she's here. She shook her head and wrinkled her nose. That sounds horribly soap opera-ish when I say it out loud. I hadn't heard the full story about Mom and her almost chosen mate from a neighboring pack, but I knew it hadn't ended well. Apparently, she'd met Dad the morning before she and her ex had been meant to complete their bond. One look at Dad, and her world had tilted, or so she'd said. I didn't know all the details, but the ex had said that if she didn't follow through on her promise to him, she'd better never show her face around this pack again. The neighborhood of two-story log cabins appeared, and the hairs on my arms rose. All the lights were off, which wasn't a big deal, but it was an adjustment after being in Gatlinburg with the holiday decorations lighting up downtown. Also, the two households at the beginning of the neighborhood were full of night owls. At this time of night, their lights were usually still on, even though wolf shifters didn't need light to see in the dark. We used them to help us blend in with humans. Mom? I linked again. Something was off. Maybe I should have linked with her throughout the night. Our pack link had cooled marginally and was almost the same temperature as my pack bond with the Silver Wolves, who were too far away for me to connect with. It felt like she was out of range. My blood turned cold. Can you link with anyone? I didn't hide the concern wafting through me. My gut screamed that something was horribly wrong. Heather rolled her eyes.
You're overthinking things, as usual.
She exhaled as her eyes glowed, and then her face fell.
No one is answering me.
Her brows furrowed as she turned off the truck.
It's like everyone is asleep.
She took a ride onto the road that led straight to the pack neighborhood and past the first three cabins before turning into my grandparents' driveway. Papa's pack consisted of about 200 individuals living in a neighborhood with 60 homes. They were spread across the mountainside overlooking Gatlinburg, isolated while blending in with the other developments of touristy seasonal cabins. It was hard to see every house from this position, which was why Papa's home was near the start of the neighborhood. If any threats came, he would be one of the first to respond. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary. Raccoons scurried and deer meandered by through the eastern red cedar, American beech, and yellow birch trees. With it being early December, most of the leaves had fallen. I focused on my supernatural hearing. Apart from a bear ambling a few miles away, all was quiet. I cranked down the window so I could sniff. Before leaving the safety of the vehicle, we needed to ensure that no one strange was lurking nearby.
"What are—"
Heather began. I placed a finger in front of my lips. If someone was here, they would have heard us pull up. Stealth wasn't an option, but I needed to listen and smell for anything that might explain what was causing this oddity. The musky scents of shifters saturated the air, as expected. I also detected the faint smell of humans. Their scent lacked any defining qualities, such as the sweetness of vampires, the herbal scent of witches, or the floral fragrance of angels. Why had humans been here? That was odd. Though the scent was faint, I could tell there'd been a large number of them. I opened the passenger door and it creaked loudly.
And you told me to be quiet, Heather huffed. Should we be getting out?
Ignoring the first comment, I addressed the latter. No one is nearby. Since the moon was slightly more than three-quarters full, my wolf was stronger than a normal shifter's. The angel who had fathered the first Silver Wolves had been the guardian of the moon, so our angelic powers were tied to it. The fuller the moon,
the larger and stronger we were, while during a new moon, we had the same strength as any other wolf shifter. I only took charge when I had to, and this situation surely fit the bill. If Papa's pack was in danger, we needed to act before things got worse. I couldn't fathom what had caused the pack to shut down communication with Heather, or why humans were involved. "Come on," I murmured, and ran toward the cabin. The bedrooms were located on the cabin's left side, on both the top and bottom floors, and the living room and kitchen were on the right side of the main floor. As I rushed up the 5 steps to the covered porch and past the 2 rocking chairs, my hands started to shake. I forced them to hold steady and remove the key from my pocket, focusing on the cool metal, needing something to ground me. Family was everything. Dad had instilled that in me. And the thought that the only remaining blood I had could be in harm's way nearly paralyzed me. Inhaling, I used the calming technique Dad had taught me. I went to slip the key into the lock, and the door swung open. My pulse pounded as I stepped inside and gazed around. From its place on the left wall, the television flickered with the sound muted, but that was normal. Papa liked to sit on the couch and watch TV until he fell asleep. The gray blanket Nana had knit him lay crumpled on the hardwood floor, but that was the only thing that looked out of sorts. Smell, on the other hand, I detected a few unfamiliar scents. Humans. Nana's yarn and crochet needles sat on the love seat. She normally placed them on the wooden coffee table where Papa kept his remote.
"Jewel, what's going on?"
Heather's voice broke as she walked up behind me.
"Where are my alpha and his mate?"
That was exactly what I was attempting to determine. "I don't know. Let's go to your house."
"Yeah, okay."
Heather spun on her heel and rushed out the door. Her brown leather cowgirl boots crunched over the gravel as she ran to the right and up the hill toward her family's place next door. I hurried after her, not wanting us to split up. Though no one was nearby, as far as I could tell, the threat could always come back. Since she and I couldn't pack link, we had no way of communicating other than with our cell phones. Cells just weren't as convenient as linking with your mind. Being shifters, we didn't breathe hard as we hiked up the steep hill that led us deeper into the neighborhood. Heather's door had been left wide open. We hurried into her living room, but nothing seemed out of place. Not even the television had been left on. When I looked into the kitchen on the right, I noticed her mother's teal kettle sitting on the stove and a cup with a tea bag in it on the counter. I walked past the black recliner centered in front of their flat-screen TV and into the kitchen. The tea bag was dry, and I lifted the lid of the teapot to find it full. A lump formed in my throat. I stuck my finger into the pot. The water was lukewarm, meaning whatever happened had gone down anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour ago. That was still a significant range, but at least it hadn't been shortly after we had left at 6. A slightly metallic scent hung in the air, but at a glance, nothing else stuck out to hint at what had happened. "Heather, your mom's tea." Somehow the words had made it past my lips.
"That's good," Heather said, sounding hopeful. "Maybe they had last-minute pack business to take care of and didn't want us to come looking for them. They could all be in the garden enjoying the moonlight or the training fields."
However, when she joined me in the kitchen, her usual tan complexion paled, and she raced back into the living room.
"Mom! Dad! Sean!"
She opened the door to her parents' bedroom, then slammed it before taking off up the stairs in the corner of the living room. This was the first time I'd ever heard her sound like she wanted to find her older brother. The two of them were usually at each other's throats since he was poised to take over the pack when Papa passed. He was a rule follower and believed in boundaries, whereas Heather liked to skirt the line and get into trouble. I stayed put, certain she would find nothing, and searched the room for any clues. I walked the perimeter, taking in every nook and cranny. At the corner where the kitchen met the living room, the faint stench of blood tickled my nose again. Something had to be here. Bending down, I examined the edge of the doorframe. There. A spot of blood on the bottom corner where the cabinets abutted the wall. Bile churned in my stomach. Someone had been injured. I squatted and lowered my head, smelling the blood. I wish I could tell if the drop was shifter or human, but our blood smelled the same. Heather pounded down the stairs, and I straightened. I wasn't necessarily trying to hide what I'd found, but Heather was reactive. If she suspected that her family had been injured, she would become even more irrational. She was already screaming for family members we both knew she wouldn't find, especially since Sean had his own cabin. Besides, her parents' scents weren't strong enough for them to be inside or even close by.
"No one's here!"
she squeaked from the bottom of the stairs. I needed to get her out of there and keep her calm while I planned our next moves. "Let's head back to Papa's." I wanted to have a thorough look there to see if we missed anything. Heather rubbed her arms and glanced over her shoulder.
"Yeah, okay."
We hurried back down the hill. The coldness of December usually didn't bother me, but iciness crept into my bones. Moving faster with the descent, we were back in my grandparents' home within a minute. I removed my cell phone, ready to take the final measure. As I punched in his number, I prayed to the gods for Papa to answer his damn phone. Chapter 2. With bated breath, I put the phone to my ear and made my way to the couch. Just as I reached the edge, a shrill ringtone echoed. Vomit burned my throat. His phone was here. Black dots blocked the corners of my vision. Dad had told me that my biggest strength was my ability to think differently from the rest of the pack. I came up with solutions outside of the norm, and I had a sinking suspicion I needed that talent now. Lifting the gray blanket off the hardwood floor, I uncovered Papa's cell phone. Something had definitely gone down, and the tipsy sensation I'd felt from the wolfsbane-laced drinks became a distant memory.
"This isn't good,"
Heather squeaked. No, it wasn't. Something had happened, and I didn't know what to do. I plopped down onto the couch, trying to wrap my head around everything and confusing myself further. How the hell were humans involved? They didn't even know we existed. Heather rushed past me, grabbed the remote from the end table, and unmuted the TV. Watching television was the last thing on my mind. I opened my mouth to ask what she was doing, but froze when I read the headline scrolling at the bottom of the screen. Supernaturals are real.
"We have confirmation that supernaturals are real, and they are living among us,"
the middle-aged reporter said.
"Watch the footage that has sent the entire world into a spiral, taken just a few short days ago."
The image changed to a gorgeous angel with purple-tinted hair and dark wings. She flew out of the trees where she must have been attempting to hide. Though I'd known angels existed, I'd never seen one. Until now. Pale, unhealthy-looking humans faced her from across a clearing. A group of wolves inched out of the tree line. In the bright silver fur of Durell, my pack's acting beta caught my eye. His blood-orange eyes were unmistakable. I inhaled sharply and blinked a few times. Why were the silver wolves there? Mom had told me that we were integrating back into society, but I didn't think that meant revealing ourselves to the entire world. My eyes focused on Cyrus, who was in human form, and what had to be Sterlin in wolf form. The twins were now Alpha and Beta of the Silver Wolf Pack. The day I met Cyrus was also the day I'd left the pack to come and visit Papa and Nana here. Mom had spewed so much hatred towards Cyrus over her pain, and I couldn't be around her and deal with my own grief. Sterlin's hair was pure silver, and Cyrus's a shade darker, similar to Dad's. The silver tones were the trademark of the Silver Wolf Alpha bloodline. In human form, all the other silver wolves had ordinary hair colors, but when we shifted, our coats were the same silver shade as Sterlin's hair. Their iridescent eyes were strained. I could see it from where I sat. Something terrible had happened, and when they glanced at the camera, their faces twisted in fear. The wolves hadn't known the humans would be there. But how was that possible? They should have been able to sense them. It was fine. There were ways we could cover up this error. Blame it on cosplay, hallucinations, and the list went on and on. The damage wasn't irreversible. The shot moved to another image, and I froze. The The most delectable man I'd ever seen was standing in front of a quaint brick building in what looked like a downtown area. Dark chocolate eyes stared into the camera, and a chill ran down my spine. I tensed, squirming, and feeling as if my soul had been bared to him, which was silly. He couldn't actually see me. He cleared his throat and held up a microphone to his full lips, his bicep bulging under his olive-green long-sleeved shirt. A breeze ruffled his short cappuccino hair, and he inhaled, emphasizing his athletic build. For a moment, all I could do was stare. The urge to walk across the room and caress the screen overwhelmed me. I'd leaned forward, ready to do just that, when he said in a deep, sensuous voice,
"It's true. Supernaturals are real. But we aren't a threat to any of you."
My breath stalled in my lungs. What was he doing? He had to be insane, or maybe he was using this opportunity to be in the spotlight. Not that he would have had any trouble attracting attention. There was no way anyone wouldn't notice him. As delicious as he looked, it made sense that he'd be narcissistic.
"Think about it."
He placed a hand in his jeans pocket and leaned toward the camera.
"We've been here the entire time, coexisting with humans. We're just like you."
The desire to reach through the screen and strangle him raced through me. He had to be an idiot. Keeping our existence secret was a core belief for every supernatural race, and this handsome butthead had destroyed that in seconds. The screen flickered, and a guy in his mid-20s appeared. He was hunched over, his eyes jerking around as if he were frantically examining the room. His chest heaved and he grimaced.
"There's no way it was an illusion. My girlfriend was ripped out of my hands by something invisible. Someone was laughing maniacally as she was dragged away, screaming for help."
The woman holding the camera asked, "Why didn't you go after her?"
I tried.
He shivered.
"But something grabbed my arm and held me back. I still can't find her."
Clip after clip presented similar stories. They all originated from Shadow Ridge and Shadow Terrace, the towns that bordered and protected Shadow City, the place where silver wolves had been created and then forced by murderous angels to flee and go into hiding for hundreds of years. The camera panned over walls that circled the city built on an island in the middle of a vast river, a city that even I, who'd never seen it in person, knew was supposed to be concealed from human eyes. A long suspension bridge that reminded me of the Golden Gate Bridge in California connected the island to the mainland. Shadow City. Tales of the legendary city had stood the test of time in our pack, and the descriptions hadn't done it justice. Gold buildings glittered in the light, outshining even all the paintings I'd seen of heaven. The sparkling buildings made the city look like Mount Olympus.
"And that appeared out of nowhere,"
a man said, gesturing wildly at the city as if viewers might not understand what he meant. The same handsome man reappeared and opened his stupid, sexy mouth. That was when I'd had enough. I snatched the remote from Heather and slammed the power button to turn off the TV. I couldn't handle hearing anything else he had to say. He'd already done more damage than could be undone. Silence descended, and I had to force my lungs to breathe. Dead Sexy had ruined everything. That must be what my parents were talking about earlier today. Heather shook her head as she dropped onto the love seat, barely missing Nana's crochet needles. My family had been tense the past day, but I thought it was because Mom had mentioned us heading home. My grandparents hadn't been able to visit us before because we'd always kept the location of the Silver Wolf settlement secret, so the only time they had gotten to see us was when we'd visited them, which had been rare because of Mom's ex. She truly thought he'd follow through on his threat even after all these years, and I wondered why she'd been willing to commit to the man in the first place. How long has this been on the news? I tended to avoid television and spent most of my time running in the woods in wolf form, hiking in human form, or reading stories about strong women who found love along their journeys. In books, I'd read about creatures that I had yet to encounter, like dragons and magical realms. I figured most fantasy stories were based on truth, like human stories of shifters, vampires, angels, and witches. During my time here, I'd even heard murmurings that dragon shifters were alive and experiencing a resurgence. I don't know. Mom gave me a list of errands to run with you today, so I didn't check anything. She took out her cell phone and mashed some buttons. It's been on media outlets since yesterday morning. Sirens sounded in my head. Our pack's disappearance couldn't be a coincidence. Humans were broadcasting about the terror they'd experience at the hands of supernaturals, and the scent of a lot of humans surrounded the pack neighborhood. That asshole had led them here. But how would anyone even know about this pack in this location? And if humans had taken Pawpaw and his pack, what in the world did they want them for? Every plausible answer I could come up with made my heart stutter. No, I wouldn't allow panic to overwhelm me. Not when people I loved might be in danger. I'd been trained for this. I had to remain rational and determine the best course of action based on the limited information I had. My mind was fixed on the only fact I could cling to. If the pack had been taken, the people who'd kidnapped them could come back. If Heather and I were still here when they came, we might be taken too. And there was no telling when someone else would discover we were missing. I stood, the hairs on the back of my neck rising. We've got to go.
What?
Heather's mouth dropped.
Why and where?
That was a loaded question, but there was a clear answer. To my pack.
But my parents, my brother, my pack!
She jumped to her feet and clenched her hands.
Your grandparents and your mom! We can't just leave them!
You're right. I had no intention of leaving them, but we couldn't be stupid. Whoever convinced them to leave or took them managed to get everyone out of here, including the kids, without anyone linking with us. How are the two of us supposed to go up against that? She scoffed and crossed her arms.
You're a silver wolf.
Something that no one is supposed to know, I said. The one condition of me coming to stay here had been for Papa to alpha will the entire pack to keep my heritage secret. And the moon is waning. Every day my power will grow weaker. Beyond that, even if I were at full capacity, I'm still one silver wolf. Rubbing her temples, Heather closed her eyes.
I just don't want to leave. It's like I'm abandoning them.
My heart thawed. I understood how she felt. We aren't. We're getting reinforcements. If I trusted in anything, it was my pack. They'd come through for me. At least, what was left of them. With all the turmoil that had happened in Shadow City while I was gone, we'd lost so many members. But I did believe Sterlin and Cyrus wouldn't stand in the way of helping Mom and the others. They had to be good people for Dad to have given up his life for them. Otherwise, we'll just be offering ourselves up to whomever took them. She blew out a breath.
You're right. It's just, how will your pack react to me coming with you? You silver wolves have always been so secretive. They won't be happy with me rolling up.
A hardened laugh escaped me. Apparently, they aren't worried about it anymore. They were just on television.
What?
Her head turned toward the dark TV.
All I saw was an angel on that sexy-ass man.
A growl almost escaped me, taking me by surprise. I'd never reacted to anything so strongly, and to feel possessive over a handsome guy who told the world about us was even more ridiculous. He'd done so much damage, and if he was the reason my grandparents were missing, I'd find him and deal with him as well. The anger I'd worked so hard to keep at bay swirled inside me. To calm myself, I began humming Debussy's Clair de Lune. Once my breathing had slowed, I said, "Come on, let's go." The longer we stayed here, the more on edge I got. I placed Papa's phone on the ground and put the cover back over it. Then I turned the TV on and muted the volume. After placing the remote on the end table where it had been before, the two of us rushed out the front door. I paused to shut the door.
What are you doing? Heather murmured. We need to get out of here.
Turning, I headed toward her truck. I don't want anything to look different. If whoever was behind this comes back, they could notice things were moved. We don't need them to know they missed some of us. She rubbed her arms and hurried to the driver's side.
Yeah, okay. I'll feel better once we get out of here.
I reached the passenger door and glanced back at my grandparents' cabin one last time.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?